want you to know I did survive summer camp. There were moments that I didn't think I would. I told the prayer time this morning, I smelled odors I never thought existed when I was in the cabin this week. But man, it was a wonderful week. It was not only a wonderful week for our youth, but I just had a wonderful time of just being able to worship and be able to be ministered to be able to hear the word preached. It was just a mountaintop experience. And so we're going to try, as best I could, I tried to put a sermon together this week under all those circumstances, and I'm going on very little sleep. I want you to know that, okay? But I did get a good sleep last night. So let's look today at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look over the next couple weeks at the subject of spiritual gifts. And as we begin to look at kicking off a new ministry year in August, we are really excited about what God is doing here at Grace Baptist Church, and I believe this is going to be one of our best years yet. But we know that the key to success is the church using its gifts and doing ministry. And so I want us to look at that subject for the next couple weeks. Next week we have our ministry fair. You can come and see all the opportunities that you can get involved and how you can use your giftedness to serve here at Grace. So join with me as we look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I just pray that, Lord, just over the next few moments, that you would just speak to our hearts, and Lord, that you would challenge each and every person here to really examine, Lord, how you would bless them. And Lord, I pray for each person who is here, has been born again, who knows you, Lord, that they would just allow you to speak to them. And, Lord, to be able to decide how they're going to use, Lord, their gift, and not more importantly, how they're going to choose to use it, but how you're calling them to use it. And, Lord, that they will answer that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as a kid, I loved to get gifts. I always loved Christmas. I always loved my birthday. I always wanted some cool toy to be able to play with. And, I sort of wish, in some parts, I wish I was a kid now. I mean, some of the toys they have are so cool, you know. I mean, I just wish I could play with those, you know. I mean, I played Pong. Anybody ever play Pong in the old days? I mean, the video games they have now, man, I think I would have really enjoyed some of those. But in fourth grade, my mom and dad said, okay, well, this is what you're going to get for your birthday. You get to be in band next year, and so you get to get an instrument. And I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like fun. So I wanted to play the violin because we were in violin class one day. They just brought a violin, and I played it. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. That was a lot of fun, just you know. And I thought I did pretty good, you know, just for the first time ever picking one up. I thought, you know, at least it sounded something. But they did some testing and stuff, and they said, no, you're full of hot air. You need to play the trumpet. And I went and technically got a cornet. Some of you may not know what that is, but, it's a smaller trumpet, but, it wasn't a cool gift. I mean, it was in this big old case, and I had to go to school carrying this case and lugging it around, and now you're a band geek, you know, and, I wasn't that excited. But over time, I realized that I did have a talent to play the trumpet. And, I was able to get into some honor bands, have some pretty cool experiences. Got to be in some marching bands and to be able to just enjoy some games in high school. And then I was able to play for the Power Band of the South. Everybody knows who that is, NC State, Wolfpack. Everybody knows that, I know, because y'all know it's the best band. And man, I got to go on so many trips and just be able to meet so many new friends and have so many experiences. And it was just this started out with a gift, but it became so much more. And, you know, I think it's a good picture of what God has for us in the spiritual realm, that he has given us a gift. And it may not be one that we necessarily chose, but it's a gift that we have. And when we use it to its full potential, it will bring us enjoyment. It will allow us to be able to work with others. When I played my trumpet, I hardly ever played the trumpet by myself. It was always usually in a band with other people, and that music was a blessing to others. And when we have our spiritual gift and we use it with our body, then we are able to be a blessing to our community, and we're able to bless others. And so this morning, I want us to look at the subject of spiritual gifts, and I want us to begin by realizing there are no super Christians. Notice what it says in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Now, what I mean by a super Christian is one who doesn't need anybody else. And you know, we like that in America. We love the movie Rambo. I mean, we love Terminator. We love when it's just one guy takes on the world and they're able to have victory. We love those superhero movies. Superman comes down and destroys a whole army. But can I tell you, that is not reality. And there are no super Christians. There is not one person here who has all the gifts. And the reality is that because of that, we need each other. And what we have to understand is that sometimes we have a gift and we realize, wow, God has blessed me, and we begin to use it, and then we begin to get a little bit arrogant. And we stop saying, wow, God is working through me, and then we begin to change the language to look at what I can do. And it begins to become more about us than giving glory to God. And we begin to think more highly than we ought. We have seen an epidemic recently in the American church where there are a lot of large mega pastors that are falling. And I don't think it's because that they started off with a bad motivation. I just think that it's a trap that we get into. Once we start having success, oftentimes we want to begin to point the finger and say, look at what I did. But folks, a spiritual gift isn't anything that you do. It's the Spirit of God working through you. And we need to be careful that we're not people of pride. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is focused around me, me, me. And a lot of times, again, the conversation moves from giving glory to God to talking about ourselves. But instead, he says in verse 3, I want you to think soberly. I want you to literally think soundly. And if we're realistic, we can say, you know what? I can't go through this life all by myself. And I realize that I need others. But I also realize that God created me and he has given me a purpose. And part of my purpose is to understand my giftedness and to be able to use that gift. So how do we think soberly? Well, I don't think it's by accident that verses 1 and 2 precede this passage here in verse 3 when he's talking spiritual gifts. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the first thing I think you see there is that we have to die to ourselves. We have to say, listen, life is not about me. I'll tell you, if you are selfish, you are not interested in understanding what God has gifted you with and how you can be used by God to bless other people. When you're selfish, all you're concerned about is you. And let me tell you this, we think that if we will act that way, we'll be happy, but this is the truth. The more selfish you get, the more miserable you are. Because we weren't created to be selfish. So instead of living for ourselves, we have to die to ourselves. And notice he says, listen, I want you to be a living sacrifice. And then we have to live for God's glory. Our focus has to be about saying, you know what? I am here for this purpose, to make God's name known. And so in the way I minister, in the words that I speak, in the actions that I do, I'm always going to seek to draw others to Jesus Christ. And I want to be able to live in such a way that God is glorified. And then notice in verse 2, he says, listen, you have to resist the world. That word for conform means to be molded. It's sort of like Jell-O. You put Jell-O in a mold, and what does it turn out to be? Whatever the mold is. And a lot of us look exactly like the way of the world. And we have to resist that. We have to stop chasing what the world says success is. We have to be intentional. We have to have a strategy that says, listen, I am not about this earth. I am about my Father's kingdom. And then we have to come to the place where we're renewing our mind in the Word of God. We have to be soaking in Scripture. We have to be studying Scripture. And let me tell you something. If all you're getting is coming here and listen to me for 1 hour a week, you're in big trouble. Because you're getting the world message all the time. And so you need to be in Bible study after this so that you're getting more of the Word. You need to be developing the ability to study God's Word on your own. You need to be refreshed and renewed and listening to sermons from other good pastors. You need to have your mind renewed so that as the thoughts of the world are coming in, the truth of God is saying, no, that's not true, and you're casting it out. And this is the way that we get to the place where we are not living out of pride, but we're able to think soberly and live right. The second thing I want you to see is that every Christian has a spiritual gift. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. If you have faith in God and you have faith in Christ, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, you are saved, then you have been given a spiritual gift. Every Christian has one. And so it's our responsibility to discover what that is and see how are we supposed to use it. Now, there's a difference between talent and a spiritual gift. Talent is what you are born with naturally. When you were born, you were given some talents by God. Now, you're still supposed to use those talents for the kingdom of God. But there's a bunch of lost people who are born with talents as well. You know, Michael Jordan says that he didn't start playing basketball until he was in high school. He didn't know what his talent was. How did he discover it? One day he finally decided, hey, I'll start playing basketball. And people said, man, you're pretty good. You got to keep doing that. I didn't know that I could play the trumpet. Somebody had to put it in my mouth and say, start blowing, before I realized, hey, you know what? I can actually do that. And so we were on this journey to discover, what has God given me? And how can I use that to glorify him? But spiritual gifts are what you are given when you have been born again. When you are born the second time, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were gifted with a spiritual gift or maybe multiple spiritual gifts. You weren't given all of them because there are no what? Super Christians. But you were given some. And how do you know what they are? Okay, I'm not against spiritual inventories and all that, but that's not how you find out your spiritual gift. Most of the time, People choose spiritual gifts that they want. The way you discover your spiritual gift is you go and you try something, and then people will confirm that. Man, you're a great teacher. Wow, you really have the gift of mercy. Man, you really do have a gift of evangelism. Man, you're just incredible in being able to share your faith with people. And so what you have to do is you have to get off the sideline and you have to realize that you have been gifted. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activity, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another the different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now next week we're going to look at the different gifts, but I want you to understand who gives the gifts. The Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God has given you a gift. And it's your responsibility, it's your blessing, it's your privilege, it's your worship to take your gift and say that I'm going to use it for God and His glory. All right, well, let's look at the third thing. The third thing is that every Christian is to be ministering in their church. Not only do you have the spiritual gift, but you have to understand the spiritual gift is to be used in the context of the local church. Notice it says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, many times you'll see that Paul will talk about the church and the body, but very few times does he ever talk about the church and the body in the universal sense, talking about everybody together. There's a few times he does, but most of the time when he uses the word body, that he uses the word church, he's talking about the local church. And he's saying, listen, if you are a member of the local church, then it is your responsibility to be able to use your gift into the local church. And so we have to understand that my responsibility is to discover what God has given me and to be able to use it to be able to minister to the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we look at 12 through 27 real quick. Notice it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but what? Many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, God has done it, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts we give greater modesty. But our presentable parts we have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the body should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members should suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God is reminding us today, Grace Baptist Church, you are the body of Christ. You are my physical representation to this community of who Jesus is. Not us individually, but us together. So I want us to see some principles from this passage real quick. Number one, you need to see if you're a Christian, you are part of the body. You're something. And the body is not complete unless you're doing your part. How many of you would like to cut off your foot and just be done with it? No, you want your foot. How many of you would like to say, well, I don't need that kidney? No, you want your kidney. And some of you just like, well, the church really doesn't need me. I'll just come and sit in the pew and cheer y'all on. That's not a spiritual gift. God has given you something to use, and that's why you were created. Secondly, we have different gifts, but we're unified in service. We're not the same. This is the beauty of Christ. Members don't get to decide what their role is. God does. But as members, he places us where he wants us. So it's our responsibility to understand our function, where God has us, and then we serve with the joy of the Lord, because it's not about whether I get the honor. If Brother Keith over there gets the honor, I'm still part of the body. Woohoo! The college ministry is doing great. Let's all praise Jesus. It's not about Keith. It's about Jesus. And see, we get so focused about us, and we get selfish, and we think more highly than we ought. We need to be soberly minded and say, listen, I just need to do my part, because what's important is that we need the whole body of Christ, because if Keith doesn't care about the children's ministry, then in about 7 or 8 years, he doesn't have a college ministry anymore. We need everybody, amen? So we serve and we give and we support. And that leads us to the next thing. We need each other. Too many focus on receiving, or others just focus on giving. But let me tell you something. If you're part of this body, you should be giving something in service to the Lord. But if you're just giving and you're not receiving from others, you're also in sin. You need to give and you need to receive. You need to minister and you need to be ministered to. That's what the body does. There's different parts, but they're ministering to each other, and then they come back and they minister to the other parts, and that's what we do. If you're a teacher here, you need other people to teach. So if you're a teacher, the other people should be showing up to the class, amen? If you're a money counter, you're hoping that there's people giving money so you can count, amen? I mean, we do something, but we also need everybody to what? To be a part of it. We need each other. Then the fourth thing I want you to see is that even in weakness, we need to serve. He says, listen, there's sometimes weaker part of the body. But how many of you know when you are weak, he is made what? Strong. Now, there may be a season where you're injured and you have to take a time away. But there's some that just, man, they just check out and they stop doing anything. What do you think that does to the body? How many of you think if your kidney and your heart just said, we're going to check out for a little bit and stop working, how do you think that would go? Not too well. You see, when everybody is participating, then that's when we're blessed. And even in weakness, even if you have failed, let me tell you, God can restore you, as we learned this week in youth camp, restoration. You'll hear about it in a little bit. God can restore you. Peter failed. Moses failed. David failed. They were still able to be used. Maybe you've been hurt. Let me tell you, my God heals. And he can heal you and he can restore you, and then you can serve again. Maybe you're weak. That's all right. He's strong. He can still work through you and use you. You have value. You are important. You are part of the body of Christ. You are needed. And then the last thing I want you to see is unity is most important. He says we can't be divided. There can't be schisms. We can't allow there to be factions or we will fall. We have to understand that this is not about my ministry. It's about us as a church. And it's about the kingdom of God. And it's about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And when we just get focused about us and our ministry, we're sick. But when we can do our ministry in the context of, hey, I'm part of a body, and it's all about bringing glory to Jesus, great things can take place. It's about bringing him the glory. And this leads to the last point, is that every Christian is to use their spiritual gift. Because you've been given a gift, it's your responsibility to use it for the Lord. And this is what happens when we do it. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be prophets and some apostles, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried from every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice he says, listen, when every person is doing and realizes they have been given a gift and everybody is working together, this is when spiritual growth and numerical growth will take place in the church. And that's why it's important. That's why you are needed. If you're a part of Grace Baptist Church, this is not my expectation that you should be serving. It's Jesus Christ's expectation that you should be serving. It's his church. He died for you. He rose again for you, and he is the one who has given you the gift. And he expects that you take the stewardship of what he has given you and use it for his glory. And this is what happens. Notice, first, all of us will become mature. That's what he desires, that we would all come to the unity of faith and to maturity, the perfect man. That means that, number one, we won't be deceived. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were all just aware of all the things that were out there to trap us? That will happen if we will be committed to working together. And two, we'll have real relationships. We'll be able to love one another and to speak the truth in love. And that's powerful. That's why it's important to get into the know each other and work together. Because as you work together, you begin to trust one another and you realize, you know what, I'm not just here for me, but I'm here for us. And we're going to be here, and my goal is not that I cross the finish line, but my goal is that we finish the finish line. That we all come to it together. I don't want anybody left behind. And when we have that attitude, that's real, when real relationships take place, and that's B, when true love is experienced. And you know, we all want to experience true love. To be known and to know that we're accepted. And to have that closeness with God. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 25 where a servant or a master leaves and he gives his servant one 10 denarii and one 5 denarii and one denarii. And one goes, takes the 5 and he brings 10, and one has 2 and he goes and he gets 4. And the one who has 1, what does he do? He takes it and he buries it. And he takes what was given by the master and he just doesn't use it. And this is interesting because it's from this passage that we hear that when the one with the 5 did 5 and when the one with the 2 made 2 more, it says, when he saw them, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. When we take what God has given us, our time, our resources, our talents, our spiritual giftedness, and we are faithful with it, that's when God says, you have been faithful. But if we take what we have and we say, you know what, I'm just going to take it over here and bury it, I'm just not going to use it, I'm just going to sit in the pew and watch everybody else do it. What does God say then? All right. I just want y'all to be mad at me because I didn't say this, okay? This is what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid, is what the guy said, and went and hid your talent in the ground, looking there for what is yours. And this is what the Lord said. He said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he have abundance. But for him who does not have, what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think Jesus was pretty serious saying, if I blessed you with something, you better use it. And so, this week when we were at church or at youth camp, the pastor would always end and say, this is God's word. When you came in here today, you made a decision to either accept that this is God's word and I'm going to live by it, or I'm just going to let it have no effect over me. And the decision you have to make today is, do you really believe this is God's word? Because if you believe it is God's word, then there should be a change that takes place in your life. And if you haven't been serving, then today you should be able to say, you know what? I understand. God has gifted me. God has placed me in a body. God wants to use me. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't know your spiritual gift. You don't anything know about spiritual gifts because you've never been born again. And you don't have a spiritual gift. And maybe today you just need to come and understand that as a sinner, you have, if you don't take care of your sin, you're going to die and go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But Jesus died on the cross and paid for your penalty, and he rose again 3 days later to give you victory. And if you will trust in him, you can have eternal life. And part of the blessing of trusting in Christ is that the Spirit of God indwells in you and gives you a gift the moment that you receive Christ. Now, you may not know it, what it is. You might have to try a few things, but let me tell you, he gave you a gift. And you can begin to use your life to bring him glory. Let's make the commitment this year, as we start the ministry year, that each and every one of us will use our spiritual gifts for his glory. Let's pray.